Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Is that on? Okay. Have we muted that, guys? Have we muted that? Sorted this out this morning. Sorry, guys. Friends of God, Steve, that was just amazing, man. I was just... Oh, I forgot I was even here at one point. And I sort of got up and was like, oh, I've got to preach in a minute. I better prepare. No, mate, it's an honour having you here, mate. Honestly, we are blessed as a church to have Steve here. Steve's been travelling around. You're going to America soon, right? Yeah? Oh, mate, we're going to miss you, but we look forward to having you back here. Definitely. Are we all sorted? Are we all good with the sound? Yeah? Okay, so... well, good morning. We've already done the introduction. We're going to be continuing in our series of Moses' life in today's world. And today's message is the journey of God's people. And today's message is an important message on God's calling in your life. God has a calling for you to something higher, to something greater than you could ever imagine, that you could ever even work for yourselves. And it's an encouraging message for us as a church, as a body of Christ, to come together into God's presence because it's what's best for us as a Christian. And we're going to be unpacking from Exodus 40, from verse 34, and it says this. Then the cloud covered the tent of the meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of the meeting because the cloud settled on it. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, and in the sight of all of the house of Israel throughout all of their journeys. What an amazing picture that God gives us there. God physically leading his people with a cloud that covered the tabernacle by day and with fire by night. Can you just imagine seeing God lead you in that way? As the cloud moves, you move. As the cloud stops, you stop. And as the fire moves, you move. And as the fire stops, you stop. And throughout all of your journeys, you are following God as he takes you every step of the way, collectively, as one body, holding you by the hand with his glory on display in front of us. And I'll give you a picture of the Christian life, right? God has done so much more than giving you and me today just a cloud or a fire. God has given his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to live inside each one of us, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to totally transform our minds, our thoughts, and our desires and our actions according to his will. You have the Holy Spirit of God, the glory of God dwelling inside of us. We, as a church, when we're together, we have the Holy Spirit of God, the glory of God dwelling in us, guiding us, protecting us, transforming us, leading us into the image that is Jesus Christ. And I don't know where you are right now, wherever you are in your walk, in your journey, but when you think about it, that will really knock you over. You have the Holy Spirit of God, the glory of God's presence dwelling inside of you. So we are to live in that. We are to be living in this, living with faith. As we think about, you know, the coming of Jesus, you know, and what that actually means, do we realize what that means? God has come to us. The whole picture in John 1 is that Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh, who is tabernacled among us. And that's the picture. That's the exact word that John uses to describe Jesus. He is God in the flesh who has come to us. So it's not just a building. We have seen the glory of the one and only living God, full of grace, full of truth. And John says, Jesus, the glory of God, has come to us. And we think, well, that's great, but, you know, he's not here anymore, is he? But actually, that's all the better. That's even better, because that's the whole point of what John 14, 15 and 16 was saying. Jesus is saying that it is better for you that I leave so I might send my Holy Spirit to dwell in every single one of you. And just see that picture on display there in Exodus in greater ways that they could ever fathomed in that way, in that moment, that you and I right now by the grace of God in Christ, have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of us, guiding us, protecting us, and providing for us. And Numbers 10 from verse 1 to 6, I'm not 1 to 36, I'm not going to read it because it is really long and I don't have time. But I'm going to give a quick short summary of that. So it's been 2 years since Israel left Egypt, and having received God's travel instructions through Moses, Israel set out from Mount Sinai into the wilderness on their way toward the Promised Land. Now, the people of Israel were camped at Mount Sinai for about 11 months, and they had become very comfortable in that same place for nearly a year, and not having to face the daily rigor of marching. And during this time, God's law had been given, the tabernacle had been constructed and dedicated, but the history of Israel for the next 38 years in this verse is more part, it's more part of a record of unbelief and failure. These were years during which the people opposed Moses, rebelled against God's will, because of their disobedience, Israel wandered in the wilderness for 38 years, leaving behind a trail of graves as the older generation died off. And of that generation, only Joshua and Caleb survived to go into the Promised Land. But today, just like Israel, the more comfortable that we become and the less we welcome change, there's usually very little or no growth with that. There is comfort usually leads to complacency, and complacency is the enemy of character building and spiritual growth. And in each new experience of life, one of two things happens. Either we trust God and he brings out the best in us, or we disobey God and Satan brings out the worst in us. And there are two silver trumpets that we used in this story to keep the tribes together. As they moved through the wilderness, they needed clear communication and control. And trumpet blast was reminding Israel of God's protection over them. The people of Israel weren't on a pleasure trip. They weren't travelling and seeing the sights and the scenery. Can you imagine them in the UK going up Bournemouth, going up to see the Angel of the North, and then swinging down into Manchester, seeing Old Trafford, or, you know, a much better stadium I can think of. But, you know, they weren't on a pleasure trip. They were an army invading enemy territory. And each tribe was a division in the Lord's army. Each division had to be in its proper place. And Moses, by complimenting Hobab's wilderness skills, Moses was able to let him know that he was needed. And what I get from that is that people cannot know that you appreciate them unless you tell them that they are important to you. So how do we apply Numbers to our life? How do we apply this verse? Well, short of it is, life is full of changes and only a few things will remain stable. But for me, stability should not be lack of change, but I need to be ready to move with God in every circumstance. Maturity is not having great faith, it's being obedient to God. So the first thing that we get from this is that we should not settle for less than God's best in our life. Galatians 6:9 is, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. Now, when you go through the delays in life, do not get discouraged. It's very easy to. We get discouraged, we give up, we lose heart. But God is saying, no, don't lose heart, don't give up, keep going. The Israelites did, and it kept them out of the Promised Land. We see in Numbers 14 from verse 2 to 4, all the Israelites grumbled against Moses. If only we had died in Egypt, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. You know, they gave up on their dream. They gave up on God's Promised Land. They had been rescued after 400 years of slavery. And they just said, oh, we just want to go back because they were being delayed. Like the Israelites, some people would rather live in slavery than face the fear of freedom. And they're not willing to push through and work on the problem until they get it right. And they want to get up. They settle for mediocrity in life. And what God is saying here is that don't settle for less than God's best in your life. If that means that you have to go through a tunnel of conflict, take the tunnel. When you're halfway through, it's going to get dark, it's going to get tough. But don't turn back into the light. No, go through it and come out of it into the light. Instead of getting discouraged, be persistent and pray. Now, this is the law of the harvest. There is always a delay between sowing and reaping. You plant in one season and you reap in another. And God wants to see if you're going to keep cultivating, if you're going to keep planting, if you're going to keep sowing. And if he sees consistency in your life, then he he proves, where am I? Then the harvest will come, but bear in mind, it's not going to come immediately, because it proves nothing if he does it immediately. No character development or stretching of your faith will happen if God blesses you straight away. We need to change. We need to grow. We need to be transformed in that. Luke 18:1 says, Luke tells us that we must always pray and never lose heart. Now, those are the two options that we have in life. Either you pray continually or you lose heart. You will always be doing one or the other. Now, if you pray continually, you will not get discouraged. But if you don't pray continually, you will lose heart and you will get discouraged by the problems that you're facing in life, whether it's at work, at school, at home, even in the family environment, even in church. You know, you've got to keep on praying. You've got to keep going through it. I remember when I started out in my career, I was working in a great shop in East London, and the environment suddenly changed. You know, I became a Christian, early doors. The environment suddenly changed. It wasn't a great place to work at anymore, you know, with the staff. And I remember there was a great word up the front and encouragement to come down to prayer. And I remember coming down to a leader, sharing with them what the problem was. And I'm expecting, yeah, go on, you pray for me. God will sort it out and I'll go. That's great. But she turned around and she said to me, you should pray for your staff. You should pray for your colleagues. And she said, the best way that you can defeat your enemy is by praying for God to bless them. And I was like, oh, great, so I've got to do the work then, you know. You know, I've got to do the work. But I did, and I prayed consistently, and it was tough. Like, have you ever been in a workplace where you're working in an environment and all you want to do is, you know what, I just want to quit, I don't need this. It was like that, and I just kept praying and praying. And then suddenly things started to come to the surface and things started to transform, and suddenly the truth started to come out. And then it turns out that, yeah, this ain't going to last for you, but God's going to exalt me and lift me up in it, you know. So, but in that time, I asked, what do you guys pray when you're going through that? What do you pray? What you should be praying is, God, help me to hold on and not give up. Because even though I'm praying for change, even though I'm praying for the situation to be different, it's not happening straight away. But I had to pray, God, just get me through this. Just get me. Do you know when you're at work, it's like, God, I've had a rough night. Just get me through this day and I'll promise I'll be good. I'll be good. You know, don't settle for being comfortable in your current position, because God has better for you. So what do we do with that? How do we achieve God's best? You start by giving your life to God. God is worth giving your life to. Do we want happiness in life? Do you want to be happy in life? Then you've got to give your life away. Mark 8 says, if you insist on saving your life, you will lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. Now, God wired the universe so that happiness doesn't come from status. It doesn't come from fame. It doesn't come from money. It doesn't come from sex. God wired the universe in such a way that happiness comes from service. God designed you to be happiest when you're giving your life away. Why? Because God wants you to be just like him. And it's all about love. To have a happy heart, practice service and generosity every day. Jesus himself, God himself, he could have come down and done anything, but he came to serve and to love and to give. And those two actions will bring more happiness into your life than anything else. And they define what it means to follow Jesus. So in other words, if you're not serving, are you really following Jesus? It's that simple. God also wired the universe in such a way that the more you give yourself away, the more God gives to you and the more blessed and happier you are. I remember it was about 6 years ago now, Clive and Debbie had a break. You know, they've been planting the church for so long, going for so many years, just no holiday. And it was decided that, you know, they're going to take a break and Duncan was going to come oversee. But I remember me and Lloyd was in the setup and we were like, what's going to happen? Like, you know, Clive and Debbie are not going to be here. Like, what's going to happen? Like, there's going to be so much to do. Like, what do we do? Yeah, Duncan's here, but he's in Trinity and we're here. Like, what do we do? And in that time, I remember me and Lloyd said, like, nah, man, we've got to step up. Like, we've got to step up. We've got to show Clive that we've got this. You know, we've got to make sure that when he is away, he is rested. And I remember, like, the following week, we said, like, you know what? Everyone's coming in at 9. We're going to come in at 8 and get things done. And Clive came in that next week. Everything was sorted. Thank you. But Clive came in that next morning, and you know what he said? The words were, he said, "You know what, guys? I feel comfortable now to leave on holiday. You guys have got this." And from that, you know, there's been so many other things happening. But we have to give our life up. We have to give our life away to serve God. And in Philippians 2:17 to verse 18, it says, "Your faith makes you offer your life as a sacrifice in serving God. And if I have to offer my own blood with your sacrifice, I will be happy and full of joy with all of you. You also should be happy and full of joy with me." Sacrifice and serving are the two keys to lifelong happiness. Generously giving your life away for the sake of the gospel. Your church needs you today. Like, you know, we were talking about Remembrance Sunday. Like, Colin, during the war, you know, you remember that poster? Sorry, we've been having banter all morning. Colin, do you remember that poster? You had that army soldier. He was pointing, and then there was words above it: "Your country needs you." In the same way, you know, these young men, young women gave up their life. They gave up their life to go and fight in a war which no doubt traumatized them and killed lots of people so that we can have freedom. We can have the freedom that we have today. And in the same way, your church needs you. Your church needs you to serve so that we can transform Islington, transform London, transform the nation and the world and so forth. But why does the church need you? Because the church is a movement. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "All of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a part of it." One reason why you need to be connected to a church family is to fulfill your calling to serve other believers in practical ways. The Bible says, again, 1 Corinthians 12, you know, "All of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you are a part of it." So the question is, what gifts are you using to serve in your church? How are your gifts important to your church? If you haven't been serving in church, then what gifts might God want you to start using in church? Your service is desperately needed in the body of Christ. Don't just ask us, ask any church in the world, you know? Each of us have a role to play, and every role is important. There is no small service to God. It all matters. Linda Corkish, every week on a Sunday, she comes in and she makes the best cup of coffee in the world. That's wisdom, actually. I have to say that, because now I'm going to get a lovely cup of coffee after the service. But that small service makes a massive difference in the body. Likewise, there's no insignificant ministries in church. Some are visible, while others are behind the scenes, which I love the most. But all the valuable, small or hidden ministries often make the biggest difference. In my home, for example, I've got two lights. One light that's on the ceiling that lights up my whole flat. But that's not the most important light. The most important light is the little one plugged in, and it comes on at night, so that way when I'm up at night, I'm not tripping over or stubbing my toe. There's no correlation between size and significance. Every ministry matters because we are all dependent on each other to function. So what happens when one part of the body fails? You get sick. Let's say, for example, right, imagine if your liver one day turned around and said, "Oh, I'm sick and tired of serving your body. I'm done with you. I want a day off. I want a year off. I want to live for me. You know, someone else can take over my part." What would happen to your body there? You would die. And in the same way, when Christians sit on the sidelines as spectators instead of serving others, the church, the body of Christ, suffers. God calls you as part of Christ's body to serve far beyond anything that you could ever imagine. And he created you for a life of good deeds, which he has already prepared for you to do. Ephesians 2:10, "Whenever you serve others in any way, you are serving God." So where do you feel God is calling you to serve him today? Because you have a calling to something higher and greater than you could ever imagine or do yourself. Mark 8:35 says, "Only those who throw away their lives lives for the sake let me start again. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live." Why is it in life we never feel more fulfilled? Far too many of us are asking ourselves that question. We're not happy, we're not satisfied. In fact, you know what? We can be miserable. Why? Why are we like that? You know, in the world today, climbing Mount Everest is probably the biggest achievement a human being on earth can do. Yeah? It's probably the big, even though only 10% of people who do it die. There was a story that came out a couple of years back, and it hasn't really no social value to it, does it? When you think about it, I climb Mount Everest, it don't really have any social value to it. But a few years back, one climber called David Sharp was clearly in trouble on the mountain, and there were 40 climbers who passed him on that day. And even though they saw him in struggle, they saw him really desperately in need, not one of them stopped to help him. Not one of them were willing to put their own personal goal on hold to save his life. And you know what? That's us. Our own personal drive to have more, be more, and do more causes us to lose sight on what really matters. But that isn't how God wired us. Life isn't about what you make or who you know or what you do. Life is all about love, loving God and loving others. Can we stand? What do you need to do to join in God's mission? Jesus tells us that in Mark 8:35, only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. And God wired you in a way that you'll never be happy unless you're giving your life away in his work. You were made for something far greater, church. You were made for something better than what you could ever imagine. The Bible calls this your mission in life. Significance doesn't come from status, salary, sex, fame. It doesn't come from any of that. Only by giving your life away can you really feel that your life has significance. Jesus gave his life away for us. And what massive significance it has in our lives. Jesus gave up his relationship with the Father for a split moment so that we can have that relationship with the Father. Can we all just close our eyes? Just focus on God right now. God has been speaking to me about this for the past couple of weeks, and I know God is speaking to some of you today. Some of you needed to hear this word today because, you know, you've been hearing that God's encouraging you, God's calling you in to his body, God's calling you in now. It's time to step up and step into the mission. It's time to get involved. It's time to take your place and do what you are called to do. Young men and women, over 100 years ago, didn't have a choice. They had to step up. They had to serve for freedom for us today. It weren't for them then. It was for the future generations. And they gave up their lives for that. And we're lucky that we don't have that gruesome sort of task ahead. But God is still calling us into that service. He's asking us to give up our lives so that we can serve him. So the question is, guys, where in your life do you need to be obedient to God? Because God has either said go or stop. Where have you become comfortable where, you know, uncomfortable, sorry, where you want to go back? You want to go back to what you knew. Like, God, I want to follow you, but this is too hard. This is too much. And I'm just going to go back and do things my way. God is saying to you today, keep going. Be persistent in prayer and keep pushing forward. Secondly, have you settled for less than God's best in your life? Have you settled for just being, let's just give an example of myself. Have you settled for just being a youth worker? Have you settled for just being a drummer in the worship band? Have you just settled to just be a bum on a seat? God has got so much more for your life the same way he has for mine. And God is calling you into something far greater than you could ever imagine. It's time to get up. It's time to follow God. Don't settle for less than God's best. What area in your life do you need to give to God today? What area in your life do you need to say, yes, God, instead of saying, no, God, you can't deal with this. No, God, this is me. This is my time. This is not for you. I've got this, God. How many of us need to go, no, God, I need you. Come in to my life today. And I know that some of us are unhappy. Some of us are suffering with depression. Some of us are suffering with loneliness. Some of us are unsatisfied in life. If you want true happiness in life, then we have to give our lives away. And there's an opportunity for you to do that today. And it's very simple. All we have to do is go, God, I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm going to follow you. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your Bible, Lord. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you have something far more greater than for us, Lord, than we could ever imagine. Lord, help us if we've come comfortable. Help us, Lord, if we've satisfied with the mediocrities of life, Lord. If we're just satisfied to just be just comfortable in our areas, Lord. Help us to come out of that, Lord, and help us to run and have a hunger and a desire to have more in life for you. Jesus, we turn to you today, Lord, and we say, Jesus, we want to run to you, Lord. We want to give our lives to you. Father, come in power, Lord, as we worship you, God, speak to us. You know what, guys, if you want to be transformed today, if you want to receive what God has for you today, don't just stand there, come down the front, come and receive from God as we worship him today. Thank you, Lord.